And, well, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at Jonah and the man who had to face up to a few home truths. Don't we all, eh? Let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's just pray for him. Loving Lord, thank you for your word. Grant us your blessing. Grant us light, Lord. But not just light in our heads, but light shining into the very heart of our beings. Lord, that where your light comes, life begins to sprout up. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're not finished with us when we started the journey. There are things to learn, discoveries to make of your goodness, discoveries to make about ourselves, Lord. Perhaps not always nice to discover, but Lord, thank you, we've found someone who can fix it. And we bless you for your mercies and grace to us. And bless us as we look at your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, let's have a little look, shall we? We're starting outside of Jonah. Here we have a bunch of people. He says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, the Son of Man came, this is Jesus speaking, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They mock Jesus as someone who would associate with the riffraff of the world, the nobodies and the not wanteds. And Jesus took that as a compliment. Friend of sinners is one of his great names, isn't it? Well, we're going to look at a little bit about Jonah. I think there's something about this, about Jonah too. We've seen the story of Jonah, how God wanted him to do something and he ran away. And so God got him to turn around. rather a dramatic way of doing it, but Jonah eventually said he'd go. And when he got there, the message was, 40 days, Nineveh, that's it, time's up. And we looked last week that the people in Nineveh repented. They believed God. That he meant what he said. And when God was taken seriously, that's one of the things that we ought. It's called the fear of God, you know. When you take God seriously, God takes seriously you as well. And he didn't bring the disaster that he'd threatened. And Jonah had to sit it out and see what happened. So let's have a look, family. Right. And Jonah was sent on that mission to Nineveh. This is from 2 Kings chapter 14. Just to show you what it was about. Jonah had been had a mission in Israel. I don't know if you're aware of that. But before Jonah was sent to Nineveh, he had a mission in Israel. And that's the northern part. I'll show you a map in a moment. But it says in 2 Kings chapter 14, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria. That was the capital. It wasn't Jerusalem, that was the south. Samaria was the capital in the north. And he reigned 41 years. And were they 41 good years?
No.
It says, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. So right from the time the kingdom split under Jeroboam the first, this is Jeroboam the second we're talking about now, all that time they'd just gone further and further away from God. God had sent prophet after prophet, and Jonah was one of them. It says, this king was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. And we looked at Gath-Hepher's just down the road from Nazareth, where Jesus would eventually come to live. And so, here we have this prophet ministering to the people of God in Israel in the north. And let's have a look at what happens. Here we are. He's a rather angry and depressed man by the time he's finished. Because, you know how they responded? They didn't take a blind bit of notice. Here's God's, one of God's servants, sent to minister. I've got you the map here just to show you. His previous mission failed. This was Samaria here, and here it is, the northern part of Israel. It was the whole kingdom that split. And Jeroboam was king at the time there when things were going a bit down the slide. But during Jonah's time, there were other prophets that God sent. And Hosea was one of those prophets. It was a tragedy, the life of Hosea. God called him to marry a prostitute, believe it or not. Because God was wanting to teach Israel the lesson that they were behaving just like his wife was to Hosea. They were behaving like that to God. And time and again God called them back. But it comes to the point where he's in two minds. God's in two minds, he says. How can I let you go? How can I let you go, Ephraim? That's the northern kingdom. And he says this, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. They've passed the mark. They've gone beyond. He's joined to idols. Leave him alone. Can't do any more. Well, Jonah's mission, the previous mission, failed. So, it was rather a depressing experience for him at the time. So let's move on to where we've got to for our next slide. And I'm going to read chapter 4 to you. This is Jonah now. You haven't got your Bibles with you, it's on there. But let's read it. But Jonah, this is after God had spared the city, he says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? No. Jonah went out and sat down at the place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Of course, the answer is yes. The Jonah's got to learn that, of course. So if you have our next slide, please. That was the message. 40 days and Nineveh will be down. But after 40 days, they came and they went, and Nineveh's still there. And we mentioned last week what the sceptics would have said. Well, Jonah was just a jerk. He was trying to frighten us. But no, they believed God, of course. But Jonah knew that God had changed his mind. Right? So Jonah's sitting there for the 40 days, knowing all along that God's not going to do it. Because the moment they started turning, he knew that the destruction wasn't coming. So he waits till the 40 days are up, and Nineveh, of course, is still there. So on our next slide, we have Jonah's reaction. It says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Right. He's seriously miffed. Now, what was he upset about? You have to ask yourself these questions when you read your Bible, you know. You're allowed to interrogate. Yes, and what were the questions, what were the things that made him angry? I've given us a few options here. Was it because he'd been made to look a fool and appear as a false prophet? I don't think it was. No, I don't think it was. You know, Jonah's big enough to know that he believed God and God would do what he wanted to do. And even if he'd made to look an idiot, he'd been made to look a big enough idiot already, hadn't he? You know, the fact that he'd run away from God and had to finish up being bleached and made funny looking colours because of his journey inside the fish's stomach. No, I don't think it was that he was because he was made to look a fool. Well, what about then? It hadn't worked out the way he wanted. I think we're getting closer there, aren't we? When God doesn't do it the way you want, you get miffed, don't you? Well, Jonah did. Maybe you're better than Jonah. Right? But when it doesn't work out the way you want, there's that. Why not? I like that. I like things to work the way I like. And when you found this with computers, haven't you? Computers are wonderful for testing how good your patience is. Right? They don't work the way you want. You can feel something happening. Well, Jonah, this is on a much, much deeper level, of course. Right? And I think there's also the third thought I had. He was frustrated by his success. in Nineveh and his failure back home. I suspect that was partly it as well. You know, frustration leads to anger, doesn't it? Yeah, that. Yeah, and it just boils and bubbles up. And I suspect he was comparing and contrasting how the Ninevites, they were a rotten lot, had responded to God. And the Israelites, they were a rotten lot. But they were God's people. And they hadn't responded to God's mercy and his love as they should have done. I suspect that was something that wound him up. But there's a lesson for us all. If you do get wound up, what are you going to do about it? There's a letter to Ephesians by Paul, in chapter 4, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. It's okay to be angry about some things, things that are wrong. Jonah said, it was all wrong, God. Shouldn't do it like this. Well, Jonah's wrong in this instance, of course. But you can get angry about the things that are wrong. Jesus was angry about people being ripped off at the temple. You remember reading that in the Gospels. But it says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know what's worse than hot anger? It's cold anger. That just eats away on the inside. You've got to sort things out. Well, Jonah, we're going to have a sort out. God's going to sort Jonah out, which is wonderful, because he loves him, just like he loves you and me. Next, please. Jonah says this. He knew God's character. He says, isn't this what I said, Lord, while I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. It's not what you were to say, it's the way that you say it, isn't it? If you were saying, Lord, you're gracious and compassionate, abounding in love, not sending calamity, that's praise, isn't it? To Jonah, it's criticism. He's criticising God for being good. I knew it! I knew you'd do that! I knew you'd forgive him. Because that's the sort of God you are. Going around forgiving people that don't deserve it. It's terrible. Isn't there the touch of the Pharisee coming through there, perhaps? I knew it! Perhaps also, there's a bit of the patriot as well, because Jonah knew that if the Ninevites survived, they were going to beat up the Israelites later on, 100 years or so later. The Ninevites were going to come down and thrash the Israelites. Well, he probably might have guessed something like that, yes? The problem for Jonah is this, yes? Did he think, why didn't Jonah want them to be blessed? I've given you one of the answers. Why didn't he want them to be blessed? Because that's what he's gone and done, hasn't he? Bless these. Why didn't he want them people to be blessed?
Because what happened to him? He got chucked into a fish.
What's happened to him? Well, I don't know. Did he think he knew better than God how to deal with Israel? I think he knows that Israel's going to get dealt with by the Assyrians. I guess that's what's in his mind. He's a prophet. God can show him things, you know. I think he thought, God, you're not going to do it this way. You can't do it this way. He thought he knew better than God in how to deal with difficult children. Yeah? Well, God knows what's needed to get difficult children to cooperate. And sometimes it's tough. If you read the letter the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, this is much later, and in Habakkuk, Habakkuk's complaining to God again about the Israelites and their bad behaviour. Oh God, there's evil all around, violence here, injustice there, it's a terrible place we're living in. What are you going to do about it? And God sends him a message. Just listen, sonny, you won't believe what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up those Babylonians, those bunch of roughnecks, and they're going to beat the daylights out of the Israelites. You can't do that, Lord, they're worse than we are. We're not so bad after all, are we? And then the next message is, I'll sort them out when I've sorted you out. And then Habakkuk says, yes, Lord, you know what you're doing. It's your ways. And Jonah's got to learn that. Remember, Jonah's long before Habakkuk. And he's a pioneer. Having to learn things from God when you're the pioneer is not easy. And Jonah's one of them. Well, he knows better than God, he thought. Well, I've got some verses from Proverbs for you. A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you'll have to do it again. Well, Israel was the hot-tempered person. They wouldn't take it from God. They wouldn't take it from his prophets. So God says, okay, the only way you're going to learn is the hard way. So be it. Right. Right, then Proverbs 3:11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. God was disciplining Israel. He wasn't destroying them. But to Jonah, it looked like they were going to get destroyed. He thought he knew better than God. Well, don't be so smart. God knows. Even though it might look completely bleak, God knows what he's doing. Wasn't that what Job said? Even if he kills me, I'll trust him. That's come to something, hasn't it? And a man can say that. Let's move on, please. Well, Jonah has a big problem, of course. These Assyrians. There's an Assyrian. Handsome looking fellow, isn't he? Would you welcome one of these into your family? Because that's what Jonah's having to do, isn't it? One of these Assyrians, they were a pretty rough lot. Oh, well, let's bring it up to date. Would you have any of these come into your family, your church family?
Yeah.
Right?
We have to.
Yeah. But Jonah's saying, I don't want them. Can't have them in our family, can we? Because they said, well, I suspect I may be doing Jonah injustice here, but I think that it betrays something of that Pharisee attitude, you know. We're all right. We're not terrible. We're not that bad. I know we're sinners, but, you know. But then, no. Right, so, can God, this is the issue, can God save such people?
Yeah.
Mm. Not only can he specialises in it. Yes. That's why they call Jesus a friend of sinners, you know. He specialised in going to people that everybody else had written off. Wow. Well, maybe you're more respectable than most, I don't know, I can't say, but, you know, he still loves you as well. That's quite good, isn't it? So if you can save them, you can save anybody. That's the point. Yes. Let's move on, please. Next slide. So Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city, where he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. This is a skip back in time, isn't it? It's just a recap of what he'd done. He went out of the city, got himself a nice little spot, and just sat there watching what would happen. And he'd probably got a little patch of tree where he chipped off the date, you know. One down, two down, 32 to go, sort of thing, you know. Until we got to 40, and then...
Nothing happened.
But he knew. He knew it, yes. But he might have just hoped that God would smash him, but... No. So, what's the reaction now, then? Let's have a look. There's a beautiful verse. Several verses in that chapter 4. It says, God provided. You believe that verse? The Lord God provides?
Yes.
But from chapter 4, you would discover that God could provide some very funny things. Can't he? What did God provide for Jonah? God moves in mysterious ways. In order to get Jonah's attention, to get Jonah to think, he had to do some extraordinary things. A few miracles to make this man wake up. Yes? And he's a believer. Jonah's a servant of God. He knows God. You see, so Christian, if you're a believer, God might want to teach you a few things as well still, you know. We haven't quite got it all worked out yet. So Jonah is on a learning curve. It's going to be a very steep learning curve for Jonah, this one. Let's move on. Here we are, next slide. So, then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. God's blessing him. Great, isn't it? Yes. God provided some shade. It's nice when it's a bit of shade when the sun's belting down, isn't it? So, lovely. I'm enjoying this, Lord. This is better. I know it's not very good over there. They're only worshipping and praising you now, you know what I mean? Believers, you. Well, I don't want them, but it's nice to be on my own with a bit of shade. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Right. Then, God provides. Please, next slide. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. It says a worm. I suspect there was a whole load of them. But there was one to start with, but worms can multiply fast as well, I suppose. But I don't know how God did it. But he provided a worm with a healthy appetite that had a go at the vine, and it chewed it up, and the vine withered. God provided. Isn't that strange? God provided a worm. Why? Do you know? It's part of a lesson. Do you know, friends, sometimes God has to take things away from your life in order to get the message clear and through.
Yeah.
Yeah? He does that, doesn't he? Yeah. It's often we don't appreciate things until they're disappearing. No. But God provided this, and it was God's provision. God provided him a problem. You don't see problems like that very often, do you, and those sorts of things. God provided me with a problem. Hallelujah! Well, maybe not, but that's what's going on. God provided a world. Let's have a look at our next one. It's wonderful, this. Now, when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. It wasn't on the weather forecast that morning, you know. But somehow the weather turned, and the wind started, and it was one of those hot winds off the desert, you know. Really nice, and dry, and desperately hot. He says, the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Wow. Oh, brother and sister, when we're in those situations, we are not happy, are we? Right? Jonah wasn't happy. He grew faint. Wow. Why did God do that? Why did God send an east wind?
To educate him.
Strange way of educating. God's in charge, yes. It's to get his attention. Right? God's definitely going to get Jonah's attention this way. Right? He allowed this suffering to come on him because he's just seen a plant die. Right? And he's feeling for the plant. Right? That's what God's doing is, he's giving him a little example to try and educate him about the big example. He's seen a plant die and he feels sorry for it. And he's just looked at a city that he was wanting the whole lot of them to die, and he'd be happy if they all went up in smoke. Something's wrong. So God starts with a little thing in order to get something into this dumb head of his that there's something going wrong. Let's move on then. So God's teaching him. And Jonah's reaction to the blast. Got a black slide for you, yes? Jonah's reaction, he wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Isn't that sad? See what anger can do to you? Make you be destructive. Not just about this, but of yourself. Is there something churning away in your life that's needing dealt with? That's what God's doing with Jonah, you know. If he'd left him as he was, Jonah would have been a miserable old man at the end of his days. No, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for you or for me, yeah? Deal with this thing that's causing the anger so that he doesn't become a destructive power in your life. Jonah, I'm so angry, I want to die. What a thing to say. But people do that, don't they? Well, let's have a look. What does God say? Think about it, Jonah. This is the lesson that God is wanting to teach you. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. There you are, all worried and concerned about this plant, and you had nothing to do with its life at all. Yeah? Didn't concern you in the least, how it grew, where it went, whatever, anything. And you've been concerned all about that. So God's using the little thing to try and turn the light on in his heart. So, right, he grew up overnight. You didn't have anything to do with it. Now, next one then. And, should not I have been concerned for that great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? That picture, he's a little confused. He doesn't know what's up or down, or right or left, or whatever. And, well, if you went into Nineveh, and you could say to them, what's your left hand? Would they know?
Yes.
What's your right hand? They'd know. I mean, they would use the word left and right, but they knew what left and right was, of course. They built walls, they built houses. You've got to know what's left and right when you build them. What does God mean when he says, in that city, there's over 120,000, that's a large population. Yes. 120,000 plus of people there who don't know their left from their right. What does he mean? Right from wrong. They don't know what's right. They don't know God's ways. That's what it is. Because left and right is a direction, isn't it? What's direction their life's going in is all wrong. They need to know the right direction. And the only way they get the right direction is from an experience of knowing God. And then God's word educating and directing them, of course. So God says, here are all these people. They're messed up. and I'm concerned about them. Isn't that what Jesus said when he saw the multitude on the hillside? He says he looked at them and he had compassion for them because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd will go any old direction into danger, walk into the wolf's mouth, virtually. So he's saying that here they are, they're a messed up bunch of people. Shouldn't I be concerned about them? What is the Lord trying to get Jonah to understand?
To have compassion.
That he wants Jonah to know he loves them just as much as the people back home. Jonah, these are human beings I've created. They didn't evolve, they didn't crawl out of the slime, Jonah. These are human beings, fallen, messed up, damaged, but I love them. And I want them to know my love. And if they respond to me, they'll experience my love. And so, Jonah, I want you to realize, I'm not just here for Israel, I'm here for Israel, for the world. That was the point. This is a revolutionary book in the Old Testament, you know. The message is there, God gave it to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I'm calling you, I'm making a great nation out of you, and he knew all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Right? But, Jonah thought, we'll keep it to ourselves. You can't, you shouldn't keep it to yourselves. Jonah, God wants everybody to know about his mercy. So, let's go on. And last little bit. Should I not also have concern also for many animals? The cattle he refers to there. Isn't that interesting? Well, I've given you some cattle and sheep and chickens. I suspect they had all of those in Nineveh. Right? What's God trying to tell us?
He cares for everything.
He cares for everything. God cares about his creation. That's what he's saying, is here are these creatures that God's made, you know. And I mean, they were eating these animals, that's, you know, part of the diet. But he wants us to care for these animals. That's what God did in the beginning, wasn't it, when he made Adam? Yes. He says, Adam gave names to all the animals. He didn't just call them the names. He was there to look after them and be responsible for them. In that sense, yes? So here we are, we're meant to look after the creation. Why? Because God cares about it. Christian, we've been abused by the godless atheists. And I'm afraid Christians sometimes have given them excuses. They've taken those early verses of Genesis that man is to subdue the world as if we're to trash it. That's not what we're here for. We're here to look after the world that God made. Right? And as Christians, we're here to make sure that this world that God's given us is looked after. Of course, we haven't done a very good job, have we? But where you can, you should. Because God cares about his creation. And so should we. So, that's the end of the story, isn't it? Let's move on to the next one. Right. Did Jonah get it?
Yes.
Oh, yes. My gene knows the answer, you see. What's... How do I know that Jonah got it? Because he wrote the story. Let me ask you, if you've been made to look a complete fool, right, and you've been taken down by God that far, you know, because you have really got it all so badly wrong, would you have written up your story for all the world to see?
No.
It certainly wouldn't. Right? But if Jonah got it, he wants the world to get it now, and so... He's given us this story. Right? The very fact that Jonah tells us how much of an idiot he was and how great God is, I think, is a testimony to the fact that he did get the message.
He was a humble man to do that.
He was a noble man, yes. He was a good lad, was Jonah. Right? So, last, I think it's the maybe next one, yes. Yes, it is the last one. Okay, so do I get it? I being you as well as me, of course. Do I get it? What's the sign of the... There's another sign of the prophet Jonah. The sign of the prophet Jonah, as well as being dead and alive in the tomb and out of the tomb, just like Jesus. Yes. The sign of the prophet Jonah is God wants the world to turn to him in repentance and faith, so that they may experience God's reviving power. Right. So, what does the Lord want us to learn from the account of Jonah? About our obedience. We're just doing a quick survey of the message of Jonah now. What does God want us to learn about our obedience?
To trust him.
To trust him. And to make sure it's fairly prompt. Don't do a runner. Yes? Obey means do it. No, I'll think about it, Lord, and I'll come back to you in a little week or two. Yeah? Obey means do it. Right. What does it teach us about God's wisdom? What does the book of John teach us about God's wisdom? God knows best.
Greater than anybody.
Yes, and he does things in strange and mysterious ways, but at the end, when we stand at the end of time, and we look back, he says, you were right, Lord. You were right, after all. And he said, thank goodness. You've got it, right? God's wisdom is super wisdom. He knows what he's doing. We can trust him, right? What does he teach us about God's compassion and ours? Well, his is fantastically greater than ours. We'll show compassion to a few of them, but he wants all of them. Right? Some of these rough lots, well, you wouldn't give them house room, but God wants to give them heart room. Amazing, eh? Wow. What about God's grace? What can you learn about that? Does God forgive people who don't deserve it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Every one of us here, if you've experienced the forgiveness of God, it's because of his grace, not because you turned up and asked him to forgive you. I mean, that's good to do that. So I'm encouraging you, ask him to forgive you. But the reason you get forgiven is because he's willing to forgive, even though you don't deserve it. And that's called grace. God's grace, and there's a God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E, yes? Right. And what's, lastly, our response to people's need of God? What should we learn from Jonah? Tell them. We've got to tell them. Because if we don't, they won't hear, and they're going to hell. And God doesn't want that, dear friends. And so Jonah's an amazing, amazing man with an amazing story. No wonder the critics have written him off as a fairy story, isn't it? Yeah? He's got such a powerful message. Yeah? It's all about a God who judges, but is willing to forgive. Yes? And if we respond to him in mercy, if we respond to him in faith and grace, as he gives us that ability to respond to him, he shows his tremendous mercy to us. Jonah, he's got a lesson to teach us all. God's love is bigger than you thought. Praise the Lord for that. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, you see every one of our hearts just as you saw Jonah's. And you knew what he needed to sort him out, Lord. It was a tough lesson, Lord. Not one we'd like to volunteer for. But Lord, in our lives, where you cause things to happen, Lord, help us to try and learn what you want us to hear, Lord Jesus. To respond to you, Lord, and then to show grace and love towards others. As we have been blessed, help us to pass it on. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that as Assyria continued, and because of Jonah's preaching, Lord, and they went bad again, we know, Lord, and they did those horrible things to Israel, yet Israel's still here today, Lord. It wasn't wiped out as Jonah thought it might have been. Lord, you know what you're doing. Help us to trust you and see you work out your plans in our lives for your glory and for the blessing of our families, the people that we come into contact with. Make us a life blessing to us as we receive your life and your renewing and your transforming power. Lord, if there are things in our lives that make us angry, Lord, help us to deal with those, Lord, so that we don't let it turn into some root of bitterness that eats us up and destroys us. Have mercy on us, Lord, that we can be a blessing in Jesus' name.